In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello, g'day to our PNG audience, and what a weekend it was in Port Moresby for Rugby League. Welcome everyone to Niche and Footy, the go-to place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinidau Aorona, and alongside me each week is my man Sammy Wykes. Sammy.
Yo T, how are we?
Episode 199 today.
A big weekend in Port Moresby. It's a bigger week or bigger day here in the studio. 199 coming up to the 200th on Friday.
Friday, yeah. What are you going to bring me?
What are you going to bring me first? I bring everything. I bring energy.
You still were going to bring me the.
No, I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it for the when we're on camera, because there's a tease coming for our Monday shows, I believe. Hopefully, I'm not jumping the gun, but we are moving to a bit more of a visual type of show there. So I'm going to present
your gift that you got from PNG
in a couple of years' time. Oh, when we're on. No, but hey. It is a big milestone. It's been a pleasure to do 199 with you. We've got 200 coming up, and we've got plenty more to go. But let's get into what's more important, PNG Rugby League Festival that happened yesterday, PM's 13 games, men's and women's and the juniors. Shelley Long will cover the Orchids ones as well for that one. And the PNG NRL team, the name has finally been announced.
Hey, we'll get to that shortly.
Moment of the week. Oh, we've got something special for that, do we?
That's where we'll announce or we'll... speak about the announcement.
I was going to say it's already been announced, but we're not breaking news here. But we will have a special announcement from someone, and we will preview Fiji and Samoa for the PAC champs, and we have a special guest too.
Yes, that special guest being one of the Fiji Butty members, and to see his journey the last couple years. It's been, I know you've been like, it's like a proud moment, like a proud father over here yourself. I remember when you showed me this footage of this young Fijian
that
man.
That defensive clip.
Yeah, playing on the wing. And you're like, can you give some feedback? He was only playing in the Jersey Fleet then?
No, that was SG Ball, I think.
So under 19s.
Yep.
And then only, what, 12 months later?
12 months later, he's making his debut.
NRL for the Canterbury Bulldogs, and his name is...
Jethro Rinnakama, and I must say as well, it breaks me to... I actually love seeing him make his debut in rugby league, but it was another one from rugby union where they said, can't see a future for him in rugby. Can't see a future for a 6'3", quick Fijian winger.
Athletic man.
Athletic, shredded, but hey... What do we know?
Well-mannered, very well-mannered,
yes.
Very disciplined. But I love hearing these stories where, you know, kids go into these environments and just excel.
Thrive.
And just need an opportunity. And just we're going to dive deep into asking, you know, what made him get to where he is at right now. So Jethro Rinnakama coming up on Niche and Footy.
Moment of the week.
Moment of the week, T. Yep, big one.
I said,
big
save
one.
It.
Save it.
For the announcement of the new NRL Papua New Guinea team, and they have announced their name, and their name is...
The Chiefs.
The PNG Chiefs.
Initial thoughts? Like as in the when you look at all the NRL names that currently in the NRL competition, where do the Chiefs fit within that?
Yeah, I think my first thought when I heard about the PNG Chiefs was the New Zealand rugby union team, the Waikato Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, Waikato Chiefs, yep.
But then Chiefs, also there's a NFL team called the Chiefs as well. But I think when it comes to Papua New
Guinea... Kansas City Chiefs. Are they Kansas City Chiefs? Yes, it is, yep. I'm all over
Patrick
my NFL.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, quarterback. Gotcha.
But when it comes to the word Chiefs, and, you know, in our Pacific across the Pacific. It holds a big title. It holds a very important title. And we reached out, well, you reached out to our good friend of Nesian footy,
David Mead. Yeah, there's no point in us talking about it. May as well
get it straight from the PNG legend himself.
So let's see what David Mead had to say about the unveiling of the Chiefs name for the new NRL team.
I think it's a good name for the team. I think the word chief carries a deep respect and historical meaning, I guess not just in PNG, but across the Pacific. And I think what chiefs represent is, amongst our culture, is leadership, community, and guardianship. And these are, I believe, qualities that align closely with the rugby league culture, where we where we use teamwork, resilience, and have respect for leadership. And I think it's quite a fitting name to name the PNG Chiefs. I think it honours traditional structures of pride and authority in local heritage, but it also gives players and fans a powerful symbol of unity, identity, and a social hierarchy. So I think these are things that are important to our culture, and I think it's a pretty good name that they've given the team. Also for marketing and branding, it's very appealing, so I'm all for it.
Yes, thank you, David Mead. We appreciate your thoughts. So this was a joint decision by PNG and Australia governments after suggestions from the public. Do you know how many submissions were given into to name the new PNG team?
A couple of thousand.
20,000. 20,000 submissions. What? And
20,000 names got submitted. I would have loved to have read what was the one where someone's going, "Come on, mate, are you serious?"
Did you say the Chiefs?
No, I didn't say the Chiefs. I was a fan of the Angels. The Angels and the Hunters. I did like the Hunters as well, but Chiefs, say, looking forward to it.
I like it. See
what they bring.
Too easy.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nesian Footy.
Hey, time for some rugby league news, and we look at Port Moresby was absolutely buzzing yesterday, and those games, it didn't disappoint.
Nah, we caught it on Friday. We knew there was going to be a big crowd. We knew they would be celebrating rugby league as it's a second, like another religion in Papua
absolutely
New Guinea.
It so is, yep.
Love seeing that energy at Port Moresby. Now, I'll start with the Prime Minister's 13 Australia team versus the PNG men's Prime Minister's 13. Australia, yes, they won 28-10, 4 tries to Dolphins NRL player Trey Fuller. But Papua New Guinea, they scored 2 tries. Now, we said last Friday.
I said. Yeah.
We picked a try scorer, and Dudley Dutoy, he gets the first try for Papua New Guinea. But the way that this try was scored, Finley Glare, the number 6, he gets some early ball. There's some shape outside him. He's up against 4 Australia defenders on the right edge. And instead of playing the shape, he goes for the long ball, throws it outside Jason Sharp's shoulder. Jason Sharp, the Australian winger, throws it over him. And then Dudley Dutoy catches it. Runs, dives in the corner, gets up, and you just see the passion, the energy.
He grabs
the chest and rips the badge, and he just gets the energy going with the fans. But what were your thoughts when you seen Dudley score that try?
I thought he had a fantastic game in general. He looks like an awkward person to tackle. Just strong hips, and it makes sense why he's the leading try scorer in the Queensland Cup. But
like a Justin Olame.
Yeah, there's a little bit. I thought he was. Yeah, you're right. I reckon he would be like Justin Olam. But yeah, to get that ball over Saab, like he's like 6'4" himself. So pinpoint accuracy. I'm glad that we got him on the show not that long ago. Was it a couple of weeks ago? And
yep.
He said what it would mean to him to be able to score in front of his home crowd. Absolutely loved it.
And then in the 75th minute, Judah Rimbu, close to the try line. He's there at hooker. And then he throws a nice cutout ball to a barnstorming Ipel Kapanias, and he scores underneath. He goes through the Australian defenders and scores underneath the post. Another great celebration. But when I watch this one, now they've got their Jerome Luai lookalike, the number 7. What's his name?
Yeah, Garavoro. He looks exactly like Jerome Luai. Eh?
That's the player that they tried to look for in the in his village.
In his village, yeah.
And they caught everyone around the village.
Took a few days for Paulie Aiton to get a hold of him to say, mate, you're in. You're starting this week for the Hunters.
But when Appel scored, Garo runs over so all the boys get together. And just like Jerome Luai would do, jump on everyone. He ended up, Garo jumps over everyone and rides that wave of all his teammates. That was a cool moment. I thought Nene McDonald at fullback, he was outstanding for the PNG Prime Minister's 13. He ran for 127 metres. And I just think they set themselves up for a really good campaign in the Pacific Championships Bowl, where they'll play Fiji and also the Cook Islands. And just while we're on the Prime Minister's 13 and we spoke about the PNG Kumuls, just want to give a quick shout out to their captain, Reece Martin. So he plays for Hull KR in the Super League. And they've just completed the treble. So they've won the Super League Premiership. They've won the league leaders. So they finished first. And they won the Challenge Cup. It's very, very rare. But for Hull KR to be, this is their first time they've won the Premiership. And the fifth team to win the Super League. So congrats to Reece Martin. He'll now fly over after celebrating with Hull KR. Fly over and join the boys. But on that team for Hull KR, we also had Samoans. Sawaso Su and Tyrone May, and then Tongan Kalepi Tanginoa, who also was a part of that squad. So congrats to all those boys. We'll save the girls for Shelley Long, but I'll shift over to the Australian schoolboys versus the junior Kumuls. Australia getting the job done 22-14, but I thought the junior Kumuls, they were exciting to watch, and even at halftime they had the lead. They were up 10-4. And there was a great try by their number six, Eliza Berth. I thought he was one of their standouts, the junior Kumul. So the future's looking bright for Papua New Guinea. Let's shift over to the PAC champ squads. Last week I covered the Cook Islands and the Tongan team.
Yep.
This week we're going to go through the Fiji and Batsi and Tor Samoa.
You said off air that the Fijians are there for the picking. I thought I'd just bring that up now.
Oh, yeah? Is that right now?
The Cook Islands, okay. Yeah. It's a sure thing.
All right.
No,
I just thought, going through their squad now, they've got some injuries. So no Arpi Cordicell, no Viliami Kika. I think that's a huge
loss.
That
is a big one with leadership.
Latu Fainu as well. But I think those players, especially Viliami and Arpi, if they are holding little niggles, they're probably thinking next year World Cup as well.
Also, no Sivo. Sivo's not there as well.
No Micah Sivo.
No Micah Sivo as well.
So there's some big names there that have carried the Batsi Fiji over the last couple of years that we'll miss.
Yep.
But when you look through their squad, still some solid in-form NRL players. Now, I'll start with a couple of names from their pack. Tui Kamikamitha, he'll be their enforcer, their go-to man in the middle. You've also got Caleb Navele, who plays for the Manly Seagulls. When he plays for Fiji,
he's the one that
he's the lock.
Yeah, the one that your Toop said.
Oh, he put him in my dream team.
Dream team.
And then I realised he was trying to poach him because he's a player agent. But I think those two will hold it down for their middles. You look at the outside backs. Still, you got Tito Sunia Turuva. You got Jeffro Rinakama, who we'll speak to shortly, and the old Michael Jennings.
The old
bull. Call up. He's still there. He's still holding it down for us.
This is where his Fiji. This is where his Fijian blood is kicking in. You know, just a good engine. He's well oiled, and he's going again.
And then the spine, you've got Jareem Bolo at the back, and also Kurt Donoghue, who for the Dolphins he had the best season he's had so far, and I think he's really lifted his game. I believe he got an award at the Dolphins as well. They call him. He's got this nickname where it's just like...
I know, but he hits hard for a small fella.
Yeah, yep. He can bang. And he holds his own. So they'll be in the middle. Again, inform NRL players to look out for, and a mix of youth and experience in this team. So they will be hard to beat.
And then we've also got some debutants. We've got Koro. We mentioned Rinakama, who was there last year, but he'll be 100% in the match day 17. Saukuru, Wanga, and a shout-out to Keresi Maya, who is the only local-based Fijian player in the squad. Also, Kaviti Sukta's captain, Gabriel Tunimakubu, he's in there for injury cover. So even though, look, they're missing a few stars, there's some young exciting players coming through.
Like I said, they play Cook Islands this Saturday afternoon in Port Moresby. All right, let's go to the Tor Samoa. Now, you look at this squad and you're like, oh my days.
Shut the gates.
I'd be quite proud to be a Samoan if I was Samoan and looking at the squad. And when you've got the introduction of the best front rower in our game.
Well, best player in the game, not just a front rower.
Best front rower, best forward, Payne Haas. And then he's part of your squad. Then you put him next to Terrell May and Junior Bolo in the middle. Imagine playing against
Josh Papali'i as well.
Well, imagine playing against the Tor Samoa looking up and you're having to run at these blokes. Payne Haas, Terrell May, Junior Bolo.
I'm just thinking about the blend of youth and leadership in there. So Payne's still, what, only 20?
And Josh Papali'i.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like what? How old's Payne? Like, he's in his early 20s?
Early 20s.
And you got Josh Papali'i, who is at the back end but has a wealth of knowledge and leadership. So that is the perfect combination.
Josh Papali'i led them to Queensland to a victory.
There you go.
He helped play a role there and win in the series.
Like, the leadership is what you want the most, not just someone that can just run hard and tackle hard. It is those standards in preparation that are going to put this Samoan side in good shape.
Then you look at their outside backs. Now, I'll just name a few. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Brian Toto, and then premiership winner, Dean Mariner. It's just like, and then I haven't even gone through the other names, but there's just strike weapons right across the board. But the thing about this team that makes a difference to all the other teams back, you know, to a decade or two ago is their spine. When you've got Jerome Lua, who leads, you know, the West Tigers at halfback, Blaise Talangi, who plays six for the Penrith Panthers, genuine halves. And when you've got a hooker in Benaiah Ioelu that plays for the Roosters, they're genuine halves for the NRL team. So that's something that we've always missed in our Pacific Nations teams when it comes to these games.
What about, there's no Spencer, but probably the bigger one, because I think there's a lot of coverage there, but there's only one type of Stephen Crichton. Like, I know you can replace someone that could be equally as talented, but I don't think you can replace his leadership as well as just the next man up mentality. So what's your thoughts on him not being there, being a part of the group and the vibe and energy he brings?
Well, if they're successful in this campaign, they're only going to get better
for World Cup
when you add Spencer Ledenu and Stephen Crichton next year in the World Cup.
That's
so
a good point.
They will play New Zealand this Sunday afternoon. It's a double header with the women's as well. When you look at that team, I think power, a very like strong power game when they play, get fast play of the balls, kick the front door down, and then on the back of that go forward, you've got genuine halves and a spine that can cause some damage.
I'm so excited for this Pac Champs. I haven't been this excited for Test match rugby league for a very long time, but this is going to be a cracker.
And remember, you can hear the Pacific Champs starting this Saturday, October the 18th, live on ABC Radio Australia. We'll talk to Shelley Long and cover the women's games, but let's head over to rugby union for our quick ad break.
I know that we joke about it all the time. Just like, I'm here just to fill in the space a little bit. And today is genuinely an ad break. Just a short little filler just to, you know, make sure that there is a bit of rugby union news to sprinkle in there just to break up the league chat because, not much happening, no games until the spring tour over in the UK.
What do you got for us?
Well, Samoa, I know they are yet to qualify for the World Cup, and as a result, they were scheduled to play Italy on the 22nd of November, but that has now been cancelled. Chile will take that place because Samoa have to play in the World Cup qualifiers in Dubai between November 8th and November 18th. I think when I read that, It's just disappointing that they're not playing in those big games against Italy where they should be. So they've had to pull out of a big game and now have to play these World Cup qualifiers, obviously big games, but you're going to be playing against, who is it, Belgium and those type of teams instead of actually playing against the Six Nations team being Italy. So,
well, they should have tried to beat Chile because Chile would be the same kind of name as Belgium, but I thought...
That's what happens when you lose those games. But Hopefully they can get through that qualifier and get back into the World Cup where they belong. But let's move on to Australia A. They are playing against Japan 15 this weekend and next weekend, with some Pacifica names to look out for in the Aussie squad. Big Devita Alandini. Man, he is another one that's in New South Wales. Probably didn't see a future for them. They couldn't see it. Goes down to the Brumbies, kills it. And now he's playing Australia A only probably 12, 16 months later. So he's playing in the front row. We also see Isaac Gailea, Linton Ieli, and Old Bull, Pete Samu, and Seru Uru. So some names to look out for in that game against Japan. And my friend, that is the ad break done and dusted.
Beautiful. Let's get over to Shelley Long and get back to some rugby league.
Hey everyone, it's Dudley Dottoy here from the Townsville Blackhawks, and you're listening to Nugent Footy.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, joining us again is our PNG Orchids and NRLW player Shelley Long. Shelley, happy Monday. First question, what are your thoughts when you heard about the new PNG NRL team, the PNG Chiefs?
I'm excited, guys. When you put a name to, you know, the media, and you put it out there to everyone, and it starts to become a little bit more real that, you know, this is going to happen for our country. So it's super exciting and a great way to start the Monday.
Yeah, we had David Mead share his thoughts, and yeah, whenever you think about the Chiefs, it holds a big title. So very exciting for the people of Papua New Guinea. And speaking of Papua New Guinea, what a weekend it was in Port Moresby. Four games played. I've covered the men's. Let's go straight to the women's. Prime Minister's 13. What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, it was a tough game. Obviously, the weather conditions over in Port Moresby, it's a very hot and humid place. And I think when I was watching the game, it was on a level 3, so almost in the black for the girls over there. And, you know, when you look at the amount of players from Australia who were sweating profusely in that game, you understand how hot it is.
Yeah, when you saw the sort of clouds disappearing and the sun just came out, it just looked like everyone just slowed down a fraction because of the fact that it looked so hot out there. But you must have been pretty happy with the first half, especially that first probably, say, 25, 30-minute period from the Prime Minister's 13, the Orchids girls.
Oh, you've got to be extremely proud of them. I think, you know, reflecting on the last few years where PNG Orchids have played in that Prime Minister's 13 game, the scoreboard at halftime has previously been a lot higher, and for the girls to keep them at 20-0 walking halftime, that's a lot of credit to where they are now and the development that we've had over the last few years in Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, look, Australia did win 50-0. They did score 10 tries, but I think the event as a whole and seeing the girls compete and keeping it tight that first half, but I noticed you shared some thoughts on social media. Has there been a bit of backlash to some of those girls?
There unfortunately has been a lot of backlash, particularly where the score aligns with the 50th anniversary of independence. So it's always a tough gig when you're playing a top team like Australia. And I think we need to remember that these players are representing not only the Orchids, not only themselves, not only their families, but the community as a whole. And they're representing a younger generation of inspiring athletes and children who can see these players representing at such a high level and go, you know what, there's a lot more that I can do. You know, if I go to school, if I do the right things in my community, in my house, like I can inspire to be like them. And I think just looking at that bigger picture, sometimes we need to reflect on.
Yeah, do you, as still an active player, still ready to go, like does it hurt even more so that you know the personal stories and you know what's actually going on in the background? You want to get that message out there even more so to go, hey, man, kick back a little bit?
100%. And I think for me in that environment, I always reflect on how hard it and how challenging it is being a woman in PNG. And I think I get a lot of I don't know. My emotions just seem to get the better of me when I listen to these women's stories about, you know, the triumphs and the tribulations that they've had to overcome to be a part of this. They play on fields that are full of rocks, like most people in, you know, the Pacific Islands do. And then they get to play at this type of event where, you know, they get support finally from all of the staff members. And it's a very different environment and it's not one that they're used to. And I think just remembering all of those barriers that they're breaking down to get there. It's a lot bigger than rugby league for PNG, and I think definitely a lot bigger for women in PNG.
Yes, very well said. I also read a quote that you shared in Talk Pigeon. I'm going to give it a crack and then you're going to tell me what it means. Win or lose, stop one time, yopla yol susa. Ol susa, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So,
now, Susie, out of 10, how do you rate that performance?
Look, a few stutters there, so I got a 7, I think.
A 7? So that's a 4, but anyway, move on. It's not about that. You had a crack. Well done, T.
It's just ultimately that saying is just saying that no matter what, win or lose, they're all our sisters. So at the end of the day, I think everyone, you know, has a grandmother, has a mother, has a sister, has a niece, who wants to do something really well in life. And I think that can reflect into this game, that they're just, at the end of the day, they're just women that are wanting to do their best, wanting to make their country proud, wanting to make themselves and their families proud and their communities. And we've got to be kind at the end of the day, no matter what. Doesn't matter if it's the Orchids, doesn't matter if it's the Jillaroos or, you know, the Cook Island Moana. We've just got to be kind at the end of the day because it's progression.
Yep, you're 100% right. And speaking of the Orchids representing all girls, the Junior Orchids, who I thought was very impressive at pressing against the Australian schoolgirls, their score 20-12, they went down, but there were some good signs there for the future of the PNG Orchids. What were your thoughts on this one?
I think it definitely goes to show that there's so much talent over in PNG, and I think when you see that scoreline against the Australian schoolgirls, 20-12, that's a really close score. And I think with a few more years of putting in that development, building those pathways for them, they're just going to exceed so much. But for me, it was Janique Miller. She scored a try in that game. She's the fullback for the Junior Orchids, and I think she's got a lot of talent and will be a future Orchid one day as well. But also there was Alice Joe. She is related to the Orchids, Shirley Joe, so a big family connection there. And I think, you know, that's a great thing to see that has come out of this, not just for the Orchids but also for the Kummels, is that connection to family through that pathway. So previous parents playing or previous grandparents being able to play as well.
Yeah, it was good to see the Junior Kummels and Orchids do well. And, yeah, I just think the future is bright for Papua New Guinea Rugby League.
Hey, before we move on to Pac Champ squads, how were you watching those games, though? The itchy feet, getting a bit antsy, ready to go. Give me a jersey, coach.
I could not sit still. And my poor niece, her mum came over to our house to watch, and before she left, my niece said to her, "Is Auntie Shelley going to be screaming again?" Like, yes, I will be.
All right, so Pac Champs coming up, they kick off this weekend. I'm going to name a nation and then you're going to give me a player to look out for. All good?
Yes.
All right, let's start with the Fetu Samoa.
Betu Samoa, for me, the player to watch out will be Sienna Lofipo. She has just pledged her allegiance to Fetu Samoa. It's super exciting, and I think she's going to be a great talent for them again this year.
Yeah, Sienna Lofipo, she was announced in the Australia team, but you know, this time last week, but chose to represent the Fetu Samoa. We spoke to Sala Tongatuki last week about her decision and what that meant to her, and some of the comments that she's been given from, you know, media or comments made. Have you heard anything on Sienna's decision?
Yeah, there has been a lot of backlash on Sienna's decision, but I think, again, similar with, you know, a lot of a lot of things that come on social media. We just need to remember to be kind. And I think for her, that decision isn't an easy one to make. You know, she's able to represent both have equal meaning. But for her, she's chosen to do Fetua Samoa. And I think, you know, there is no wrong or right decision.
At the end of the day, the people that are commenting on it are never, ever going to be in a position to make a decision like that. And so who cares what they say?
Yeah, big decision there made. And I know her and Shalom Sawoso is going to do some damage in the middle. It's going to be interesting watching that Australia game. But Tonga, 13.
Or for me, it's going to be Emanita Paki. She's been a great player for the New Zealand Warriors, and I think she's got a lot of potential. Hopefully see her in the halves in that game.
Cook Islands.
Cook Island, Moana, April Nangatapuna. She has had a sensational season in the Queensland Cup, won Prop of the Year, took out the award for her squad. And I think, you know, definitely NRLW clubs will be calling her name shortly. But for me, April, definitely one to watch out.
PNG Orchids, and you're not allowed to say Elsie Albert.
Oh, PNG Orchids.
S.A. Banu.
Or S.A. Banu.
No, for the PNG Orchids, I'm going to have to say Jessica Reeves. I thought she played well on the weekend. That ball-playing middle-style footy really opened up the space for Elsie Albert and S.A. Banu, and I think she's definitely one to watch in the middle.
Fiji.
Oh, for Fiji, Tegan Hardigan. She's going to be a great one. Unfortunately, though, the Fiji team is not playing in the Pacific Championships. They're actually playing in a different competition to try and qualify for the World Cup.
Beautiful.
Okay, okay. So Tegan Hardigan, I think we've mentioned, mother of four yeah. kids, married to and Matt Hardigan, good mate of mine. So she's impressive.
And then let's go a Pacifica player for the Australia.
Pacifica player for Australia, Tiana Panattiani-Grey. I reckon she's going to score as well.
Beautiful. And then final one, New Zealand Kiwi Ferns.
New Zealand Kiwi Ferns, Mele Hufanga. She's had a sensational season as well, and I think she deserves that spot out in the Kiwi Ferns, and I think she's going to be incredible for them.
Beautiful. Love your work, Shelley.
Hey, in sync. How good.
Thank you, guys. But, yeah, just before we wrap up, this Saturday, the PNG Orchids will versus the Cook Island Moana in PNG. So that will kick off at 1 o'clock. With the Sunday, the Kiwi Ferns will versus Fetua Samoa over in Auckland at 12:35. So just a reminder too, with the previous Pacific Championships, Fetua Samoa ended up moving up into Pool A and PNG Orchids moved down into Pool B. So that's going to be a great opportunity for Fetua Samoa to, you know, show what they've got and definitely add that Pacifica flavour to Pool A. And Fiji will verse Canada next week on October 21st. So we'll do a bit of prep into it as well. So that's super exciting for them.
Again, thank you, Shelley. We'll see you next week on Nation Footy Mondays.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Cheers, Shelley. Now let's get over to our guest, the man himself, Jethro Rinnakama.
Hi, guys. My name's Antiana Dalakai, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Our next guest at the moment is a special one because of there's a bit of a personal connection here. I've sort of seen the rise and the grind of what he's been doing in the background to be able to get to where he is now. And last year we spoke about a young Fijian wing at the Bulldogs. He's been flying under the radar, turning heads with some performances in the junior rep sides. And since then, he's gone on to make New South Wales under-19s origin team. Then he got the call up to play in an NRL trial game in Brisbane. And then in round 19 this season, Bulldogs play the Cowboys. The young 19-year-old gets the call up to start on the wing. And not only that, he scores in his debut game. 3 tries in 6 games, and he also plays in 2 semi-final games for the Dogs. This young man, Fijian Jethro Rinnakama, Lolivinar Brass, welcome to Nation Footy. It's good to have you on.
Yeah, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on. Excited for the question. We'll see what happens.
Mate, don't sound too excited and don't jump out of your chair too much there. But well, honestly, man, what a 12 months. You know, we are going to get into your footy journey, but I'm just going to start with your Fijian heritage. Whereabouts is your family from in Fiji?
So my dad's from Naivodini, Natasiri, and my mom's from Java, Talevu. And yeah, they grew up in Fiji and then came over when they got together. So yeah, I was raised here, but so Sydney boy.
I know I got to cross paths with you in last year's PAC Champs in Fiji. Do you manage to go back home on the motherland much?
Oh, I kind of try every Christmas break, I try and go back to see the family and that. But yeah, obviously with the footy and all this stuff coming up, so it's a bit harder now. But yeah, every chance I go, I try to go back and see the fam.
Growing up in Sydney, in Sydney's sort of west there, out in Lidcombe, what was it like around having your Fijian culture, but also here living in Australia?
Oh, I think in Sydney, like, it's pretty multicultural, so had a lot of Islander mates, like different backgrounds, Tongan, Samoan, so it's pretty good growing up, and we all played footy, so yeah, just had that connection.
Yeah, were you a Bulldogs fan growing up?
Oh, I kind of went for Para when I was growing up, so it's a bit of a rival club, but yeah, I think when I joined the Bulldogs, I started like kind of rooting for them, so yeah, a bit of both.
Why Parramatta?
Oh, they had a lot of Fijian wingers. They had Semi and Micah as well, so I kind of just watched them.
Sam loves telling me about the story of you playing rugby union and then rugby union not wanting to keep you in their game, and you made the decision to go to rugby league. But tell us about your, you know, the start of your sporting journey, where it all began.
Oh, I kind of started sports with soccer. So I was playing a different sport altogether. So yeah, started in that, and then I played about 4 or 5 years in that, and then I was kind of like not playing sport for a bit, and then I chose, like, picked up rugby in our primary school, and I kind of went off from there. Went into high school, played rugby union, and then yeah, started when I was 13. I was playing for West Harbour down at Waxies Club, so that's probably where you picked me up.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to coach Jeff in the under-16s West Harbour rep team on one of the long weekends that we have here where they have those tournaments, and I've just seen this kid just skinny as. He's obviously put on some muscle now since then, but I don't know, there was something about him that that I thought, like, man, this kid's got something. And I was a bit disappointed when rugby said that they weren't really looking at him. Jeff, you know, when you're growing up in some of those rep teams and you were maybe getting overlooked, you know, for some further honours, I know you made New South Wales schools and that, but was that the big reason for then going into rugby league?
Yeah, you know, I was kind of hoping I went far in union, but I guess they didn't come up. But I think I joined league that year and I saw, like, the success that I got from there. And that's probably where I just continued to get my journey, you know, down that league path. So, yeah, I'm just grateful for that. And I feel like as well, probably like rep sides, that probably don't matter. Like, I think I found that out because I didn't make any rugby league but rep sides. So, yeah, it's all rubbish, to be honest, yeah.
I agree. I mean, I grew up with a lot of really, really good rugby league players and made all those rep teams. But, you know, it gets to a point where the playing field levels out and it's around who's got the right character, who works hard, who's got the right lifestyle habits. So you bring up a good point. Now, you mentioned tunnel vision. Did you ever get influenced by outside friends or, you know, people to maybe steer you off your pathway, and how did you overcome, you know, their moments?
I think I kind of have, like, a really good friend group. Like, we all, like, emphasize what our visions are, what our goals are, and I feel like my parents probably kept me grounded a bit, like, especially coming, you know, you get rewarded with so many rep honors and, you know, all people get, like, distracted and all that sort of stuff, but I think they like, kept reminding me of my goal and to make NRL. That was probably, like, the main reason I made it, because of my parents, you know.
I was going to say, if you don't say your mum, I would have been really shocked because, you know, I've spoke to Davila a couple of times and, man, I was scared of her. So she had you on lock, making sure that you did have that tunnel vision and you stayed the course. But your dad as well, Andrew, he played for Fiji in the sevens, I believe, with the great Sarevi and those type of players in the golden eras. What's his influence been on someone like yourself, you know, knowing that your old man has played at the highest level, and what did you learn from him?
Yeah, he's definitely someone to have around you. It's someone good. Kind of gives me feedback, you know, even when I don't want to hear it. So I feel like, yeah, he's just giving me all those key tips and helps me out on the field as well.
Even when you don't want to hear it, I like that. So you just have to sit there and listen.
Yeah.
And then you go into your, you know, first grade training. You get an opportunity to surround yourself in that high-performance environment. Coached by Cameron Serraldo and a team full of stars. You know, you've got Stephen Crichton, Viliami Kikau, Matt Burden. What was it like that first day or that moment when you walked into first grade training? Tell us about that moment.
Yeah, first day was, thought it was a bit of a mess. We had a wrestle first, so yeah, I kind of went into the wrestle room, and I think Marcelo Montoya was kind of looking at me. You know, I was young, and he's probably, yeah, told me to come wrestle him. Kind of got like thrown around a bit. I remember he slammed me at one point, and I had to tap out. But yeah, that was definitely one of the toughest sessions I've done. So yeah, definitely an introduction to first grade, I guess.
Sad guy, Mars. Oh, what a bully, man.
Oh man, those day one feels. After that session, did you have any doubts around, is this really for me or not?
I was kind of questioning it, especially during the hard times. But, you know, I think that from then, I understood what it took to be a first grader. And I kind of took that learning under my belt for the rest of the season. So, yeah, it was a good experience.
Crossing paths with you a few times now, you know, I picked up that you're more of a naturally a quiet kid. Get your business done, get the work done. What do you think you've done to impress or get the attention of the coaching staff to get that opportunity? Yeah, I know that sometimes that can be difficult for young Pacific Islanders that are naturally quiet to go into an environment where, you know, NRL, you have to hold your own. But it seems like you've caught the attention, you've caught some interest from your coaching staff, and they've gained trust in you to get the job done. What do you think some of those actions are that you've done to gain that respect from your peers and coaching staff?
Yeah, I think at the Bulldogs, they kind of emphasize training. So I think, I don't know, through like kind of training hard and training how I'm playing, kind of earned the respect of the coaches and I guess hard work as well. And I guess you could say communication, like I don't really talk a lot, but like in training, kind of like a different person. So I think you look at Kikau, he doesn't really talk a lot in meetings and all that sort of stuff, but on the field, he's obviously, you know, talking to the rest of the team, trying to make the team better.
How did you go from idolising some of these players to now calling them teammates? Like in a space, it would be like 12 months where you go, oh, I want to get that guy's signature. Now I'm actually training with him day in, day out. How did you find that?
Oh, I'm still pinching myself now, like, especially in the finals, like Toronto with like, kind of like watched all of them, all the grand finals. Just at home, like I would watch it with my family, kind of watch Critter, you know, Matt Burden and Kicks, going from like 2020 all the way to 2024, watched all the grand finals. So just to run out with them, like still unreal and like surreal, still pinching myself now. So it's definitely crazy.
Yeah, I could imagine that only, yeah, at such a young age. And then you're now calling Stephen Crichton your teammate. What was it, you know, with having Viliami Kikau there, Fijian as well? You went into camp last year in the Pac Champs. What was it like having another Fijian there in the same team? Was there anything, like any advice that he gave you on how to handle yourself at first grade training?
Yeah, he was definitely one of the leaders in the group. Kind of just looked after the younger boys, especially being a Fijian. He kind of looked after me when I was coming through. And yeah, he was on my edge. So he was always giving me tips on the field and how I can make myself better. And he's also an example that I can look up to.
What's the most important thing you've learned from someone like Kikau?
I think preparation. He's always stretching whenever you see him. He's always doing something to better his game. And I think it was after my debut game, he was kind of in the pool the next morning, recovering for the next game. So he definitely takes care of his body and he takes his preparation to the next level. So I'm just looking into that for next season.
When you got told you're making your NRL debut, North Queensland Cowboys, what was that moment like? Who told you? And, you know, what were you feeling when you got told?
Yeah, it was kind of a build-up. I remember Critter was talking to me, was telling me to get ready about 3 weeks before, so I was kind of nervous for a whole month. I was just like, am I playing or not? So, yeah, I was pretty nervous throughout those 3 weeks, but I think it was on the week of when we were versing Cowboys. It was on the Tuesday, if I remember. After the field sesh, I think one of my SG ball coaches, Steve Turner. He kind of came up in our team huddle and just said I was debuting. So, yeah, it was definitely like a crazy moment. Like, I couldn't really believe what was happening.
Who was the first person you told?
I told my dad first, but he was in Fiji, so I had to come over to Townsville pretty fast. And, yeah, then I told my mom after that.
Well, I love that clip on socials when they did the jersey presentation and your dad, you know, said, Jeff, do your best and God will do the rest. You know, it was such a special moment for you and your family. In that moment, what was it like seeing your dad and mum there presenting you your debut jersey and you're just sitting there?
Yeah, it was pretty emotional. I was pretty emotional in that that presentation, but just to have my parents there, and it was just like kind of hit my heart because, you know, everything they've done for me, and I get this reward and I give it to them. So it's pretty special.
And then playing the game, you know, what were your thoughts going into the game? And then all of a sudden, you find yourself wearing a blue and white jersey, representing the Canterbury Bulldogs, playing up against other NRL stars for the Cowboys. You know, was there ever a moment where you're like, man, what am I doing here? Like, what was that feeling like?
Oh, yeah, I kind of had that feeling when I was running out. Like, I kind of looked up and I saw Jeremiah Nenai and I saw Tom Dearden, you know, opposite me. So I was definitely versus the best players in the game. And I was kind of questioning it, but I was just sort of trying to back myself.
One last thing on your debut. You don't only just score a try, you score the winning try. Run us through that feeling of actually scoring a try on debut, the winning try, and your whole team is jumping on top of you.
Yeah, so it was like late in the first half. It was kind of like a stoppage before we actually got to play. So I kind of saw space in front of me and I was kind of trying to tell, you know, Matt Burton. But yeah, they kind of swung it from the right to the left. And I think my center got the ball in Ari. And he was trying to draw the fullback and he just passed it to me. And then I was trying to take off, try and score. And then, yeah, got the job done. All the teammates were jumping on me and like pulling my head in and all that stuff. And yeah, good feeling.
Hey, let's go over to the PAC champs now. Last year you went with Fiji Bati as probably more of a squad member, not knowing if you're going to play or not, but you were there and amongst it. Now this time around, 100% you'll be playing. How has last year helped you prepare for this upcoming PAC champs?
Yeah, I think I kind of just looked at the connection between the boys. Like, we're a lot connected, especially coming from the same country, and I kind of use that to be able to play better, you know, connect with the boys around me. And I think kind of use that at the club as well. So yeah, it's definitely going to help me on the field just to know who's next to me. And yeah, it's also kind of looking at the training as well, how they train, and, you know, seeing what it takes to be able to play international. And yeah, it's definitely a lot of passion behind it.
What do you look forward to most going into this year's campaign?
Probably like the PNG game. We have a bit of a rivalry, so definitely be a pop-up game, you know, see what happens.
Are you just underestimating the Cook Islands or?
That's already chalked up as a win.
Just that we have a bigger rivalry with PNG. Definitely not, yeah. Cook Islands will be a good bad game.
No, I'm only playing, I know.
Granite versus granite in those games. Man, I can't believe you said PNG. There's no way I'd be thinking that's what I'd be looking forward to, running against some of those guys.
Are you, are your parents proud that you get to represent the Fiji Bati?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I'm representing them when I play, so it means a lot. Like, we have a lot of sporting members in our family, but just to represent Fiji on a big stage, you know, definitely makes my family proud. So I feel like that's the main reason I try and, you know, make a fine all these international games and stuff.
Who did you room with last year?
Oh, I had Michael Jennings.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Jenko. He's a pretty good roomie. So. Yeah.
Again, like I've played with Jenko, T's played with Jenko from the same area out in Western Sydney there. What was it like to room with someone who's right at the end of their career, still going? Was he like 37? Yeah, 37. Yeah, what was it like to room with someone like him when you're just starting out your career?
Yeah, it's definitely like I watch him like my whole, like growing up. So it's pretty mad being a roomie. So I was kind of just asking him questions asking about Sydenham games, like how he felt, and trying to take as much information from him and add it to my own game. So,
what about the roommate Kassi around being the younger player? Did you get to choose your bed, or did you wait at the door and let him choose his bed first?
Nah, I just let him choose. So he's older, so the respect out there. Yeah,
Jeff, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved every bit of watching your development. Felt like a proud dad, actually. I used to tell T when we'll come in here on radio and go, "Mate, look out for this guy, Jethro. Man, he works hard. He's your type of player. Slips under the radar. He's going to do good things." I just really love what you're doing. Keep up that hard work, that work ethic, and I've got no doubt you're going to be playing for the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah, sweet. Thanks.
Well, everyone, this is Kevin Angama from the Fiji Butty, and you're listening to Nizan Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, give me three. Our game where we finish Nizan Footy Mondays. It's a game of categories, 3 points up for grabs each week, and the loser has to shout the other host and their partner a spa day dinner and all. So I'm on 36, Sammy's on
33. Three from three last week. I was generous last week.
Sam
I
was
very
giving. Very generous. Wonder what happened. Why were we so generous?
I think it was just a bit happy after that grand final weekend. It was such a there was a buzz about it.
How are you feeling today?
Well, because it's you, old Mr. Serious over there.
Wants
to make it like an IQ test, a spelling test, bro. Kick back as well.
I gave you a clue.
You like the people in the comments section.
I gave you a
clue. That's how I feel when we come to this part of the show.
What does Monday start with? The letter...
What?
The letter M.
M, yeah.
Yeah. So my question today, give me three players in all the Pac Champs men's teams. Three players... their surname starts with the letter M, and they can't have the same. The letter M.
So their last name. You're looking for a last name.
Surname,
letter M.
And I said you can't have the same name, so you can't have the same surname. So there's brothers that have the same.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, May.
There we go.
Terrell May.
There you go. There's one.
And Taylor May is a half a point? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. Oh man!
All the men's teams.
I know. Like I shouldn't.
Yeah, and the Pac champs.
So how long do we have?
Go through the Tongan. Go through all the teams. You know what? There's actually a long list.
There is a long list. I know. I can feel
a very, very long list.
Popular letter in Tongan too.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. I think.
Go through the different nations.
All right, let me start with Tonga. Let me start there. So we've got Adam Fanua Blake.
Well, at least you got 1 point. All right, fine. There is no Tongan.
There's no one.
There's no one in Tonga.
I'm going through that. We don't waste time. Oh man, who's for Fiji then? Don't even know. This is a tough one, T.
It's not tough.
It is not tough. It is. It's always tough with you. Who's in the PNG side?
Don't want me to get the just go meh. Try meh.
And
I'll give you another. All right, I'll give you one more clue. I mentioned his name on the show earlier. He played on the weekend and he ran for 127 meters.
He played on the weekend for PNG. Did he?
Yes, he did.
Played for PNG.
Nene McDonald.
Nene McDonald. I was thinking
127 meters. Yeah, Nene McDonald. Kumu.
Okay. Right. You're very generous today, T. I don't know if I'm going to do a third one. Is there a.
I reckon I'll count down from 10 because I'm happy with 2 points.
Yeah.
10, 9, 8,
Cook Islands,
7,
anyone?
6, 5.
Nah, I've got nothing.
4, 3,
run through the long
two,
list.
One. All right, so.
Run through that long list.
Ronaldo Mulitalo.
Oh.
Casey McLean. Oh. Jeremy Marshall-King. That's Kiwis. Dean Mariner. Atta Mariotta. Francis Molo. We had Tane Milne. Mate, the cookies. Makaise Makatoa.
Oh, my Isan goodness. Oh, my
Davey,
head is
Davey
on
Mowally,
the microphone.
Tepai Moiroa.
Oh, Tepai. Old teammate of mine as well.
Well, you got to and I pretty much answered them for you.
You did, actually. I appreciate that too. That's probably the first time you've actually, you know, guided me with some really good clues. So I appreciate that. Oh, there's a long list. All right, relax. My turn next week. We'll go from there. But that is our time up. Make sure you tell your footy-loving friends about Nijan Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website.
Yes, we'll see you on Friday for episode 200.
200. Tune in. Make sure you do.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.